I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You gotta love it, dude. You're either, there's something for everyone. Whenever you're a warlock, you got your succubi, you got your buff boys, you got your, you got your nether dragons if you're donkey. And,
yeah, like truly it is the fetish class.
Lore Boys here, and my name is James Miller, and we're coming at you with some of the best lore on the internet.
That's a nice and clean intro, Jamie.
I'm joined here with...
We're 4 years in, and boy, have we got this figured out.
Yeah.
Good, just good branding at the top. That's it. I'm Ethan. Yep. Of the Libbers.
I appear on you. Lore Boys, also, two here.
Yeah. And that constitutes a Lore Boys beginning. That's a new thing we're doing. It's year four now.
Yeah, that constitutes a Lore Boys here when we start.
So if you guys know how to read titles, you might know that we're talking a bit about the Burning Crusade in the World of Warcraft universe, or just World.
I don't want to derail this too quickly, but I love the idea of someone who can't read titles specifically downloading our show and trying to get through it, just being like, what the fuck is happening? What am I listening to?
The first 15 minutes. I like that Jamie fronted it, because so often it's the first 15 minutes of us just going on about bullshit. And sometimes we're leaving each other in the dark on purpose and forcing each other to try and guess what magical thing we've come up with this week.
I did that for Halloween years ago, remember, if you guys remember.
Of course. So we are talking about Magtheridon. We're talking about Outland, which is the place that Burning Crusade takes place in. Illidan's going to make an appearance in our story.
Is this the World of Warcraft Burning Crusade or some other one?
Yeah, World of Warcraft Burning Crusade, which is the first expansion after Classic or Vanilla World of Warcraft. Yeah. And it's the one that's coming out June 1st at 6 p.m. EST. I have a wonderful 15 days booked off and diving headlong into it.
15? I thought you were taking 10.
Well, 10, counting weekends, plus all the other stuff.
It's not like 15 vacation days spent on this.
It's 10 business days.
I think it's 11. I think I took 11.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah. I'm jelly, man.
It's going to be such good fun. We're actually recording this one off of our normal schedule so that I can take a week off and not even pause to do something I like recording a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I do love the fact that we're so organized right now. It's just like, I wouldn't do this for my job. But it's just like, okay, I got to do some overtime for the boys.
We're just gonna
crush it on a little Saturday afternoon.
And that's exactly it. I got married and we couldn't organize ourselves to do it, like with me on last week's or 2 weeks ago episode. But Jamie, going into the World of Warcraft, we're like, no, we got to do it for him. You know, we got to pull it together on the weekend.
We have our priorities.
Yeah.
But also, congratulations, Ethan. And with Ontario's COVID restrictions kind of going buck wild there the week leading up to it, it was really difficult to organize anything, frankly.
Oh yeah. I did it. That's all my lines are written by my wife, so everything you're hearing was written by her.
Good. You got a lot funnier. Of course. Yeah, I'm glad that we can get this recorded so I can just feel good about not doing anything for 15 days. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm glad that your obligations to, the lore folk and Ethan and I is, something that threatens you with guilt. I think that's, a really good commitment.
It's very sweet. It's very sweet.
Guilt has kept us on track for 4 years.
Yeah. We've definitely talked about it before. Maybe we've talked about it with the listeners, but it's absolutely always just been we felt beholden to each other to actually get episodes done, and if any of us was doing this on our own, there would have been maybe one episode ever created, and then we would have just procrastinated the rest of them.
I would have done Team Fortress 2 in 2017 and then never looked back.
But it is our, I mean, it was our 4-year anniversary yesterday.
May 28th,
So yeah, so this is, I guess, our 4-year anniversary episode. Nothing special to it, so just strap in for more of the same, folks.
Cool.
So let's dive in to some lore. Let's get some lore. So where we start is, the place is the extra-dimensional realm of Outland. And it's this is a shattered floating remnants of the red world Draenor, which some of you might have heard of, which is the homeworld of the orcs and the refuge of the Draenor.
Oh, I was going to say in the Draenei as well, right?
Yeah.
The non-Protoss.
Draenor are like poofed blue people. They kind of look like space goats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that show on Teletoon back in the 90s.
Space goats?
Space goats. No, there was one called Space Goofs. It's like a Parisian cartoon. It's very strange.
Those Parisians, man. Very strange.
Yeah. Outland is sometimes mistakenly referred to as Outlands or the Outlands, which I have totally called them the Outlands like a million times, but it's just Outland.
Okay.
Yeah, so get it right, Peter.
No hard S.
Exactly. Is there five lands in Outland? Sure. But it's the one Outland with five sublands in it. Sub-Outlands, if you will.
Yeah, Outland is the new continent that's added. There's Eastern Plague Land, or Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor, which are the two main continents in Classic.
Warcraft. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Outland is added in the Burning Crusades. That's why it's important to us.
Yeah. Eventually, Northrend is added in Wrath of the Lich King, and then Pandaria is added in Mists of Pandaria. And Warlords of Draenor, I think you go back in time. Cataclysm just changed everything, right? I don't think they added. I mean, they added Deathwing's prison at the center of the Maelstrom, but
they made it so you can just like you can't in the Burning Crusade. You can only fly in Outlands because you get flying mounts and stuff. They made it the whole world conducive to having flying mounts. Exactly. So they redid all of Cataclysm, Kingdom.
Yeah, they also they like flooded Thousand Needles and they broke the Barons in half and did some other stuff.
Drew a mustache on Anduin.
got him.
When did they add PEI? Is that in the Green Gables expansion?
Yeah, exactly.
You just slaughter a bunch of potato farmers.
And of Eastern Plaguelands.
So Outland was created because Draenor was the focus of an attack via the Dark Portal, which is the thing that's going to be opening that lets us go to the Outlands. It's that big rectangular green glowing portal that a lot of people might remember from World of Warcraft.
The login screen, right? When you install the X-Pack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
it's the pre-patch now, and it already has the login screen with the new music, and it's very exciting. So the Alliance went through the Dark Portal, and they had an expedition aiming to end the orcish threat to Azeroth once and for all, because that's where the orcs come for them. It's Draenor, and Draenor was like a pretty nice place back then.
Yeah.
But in the midst of the ensuing battle, the elder shaman Ner'zhul, which you might remember, he attempted to allow the remaining orcs on Draenor to escape to other worlds by opening dimensional portals. So he opened up a bunch of portals, but he opened so many, it tore the planet apart, leaving only torn fragments of the former world floating in the nether.
Damn.
And Outland is the barely inhabitable biggest chunk of Draenor left. So that's
it's like the prime real estate of the planet that's left behind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And Ner'zhula, he played a part in the Lich King. He was the guy whispering through the sword to Arthas.
Okay, yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's a horse named Ner'zhul or a sword named Ner'zhul or whatever the fuck. Like, we did in our Lich King episodes, talked about him
before.
A horse
named Invincible, I think, was
that's
the,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's like the 0.01% drop at the end of Ice Crown Citadel. So, the very coveted mount is Invincible and one that Arthas loved very, very much.
Yes.
And you can almost, go back and listen.
Almost too much if you go back and listen to our previous episodes. A Man Who Fucked His Horse, I think, was the alternate title for that one.
Yeah, that's in the lore, that's not how it went, but lore boys canon, that's how it went, for sure. Yeah.
Which lore do you really care about, listeners?
Yeah, what's true? I think we decide, really.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
So most life on Draenor after this shattering of the whole world was wiped out in the explosion, although a number of orcs, ogres, and a few remaining Draenei survived. So there are still some people there.
Is this the first expansion that introduced new races where you get the Draenei and the Blood Elves?
Yes.
Exactly. We get Draenei and Blood Elves. Blood Elves, like, their whole thing is, if you go back and listen to Arthas Part 2, I believe, whenever the Lich King and all his army forces go and use the Sunwell to power up something to revive Kel'Thuzad, they basically tainted the magic there, and what used to be the High Elves became the Blood Elves because of all the people, like 75% or more of their brethren and sisters had just died there.
Brethren and sistren.
Yeah. 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 So they lost like most of their people, and the magic that they used is tainted.
Okay.
And Blood Elves' whole thing is like they thrive on magic, and like if they see magic, they get like, they get excited because
They're horny for magic. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Like, they'll do bad things. Like, they should go to horny jail for magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke, Ethan, by the way.
Yeah.
Gone a week, but still in each other's thoughts, is clear. Thinking about horny elves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a bit of shop talk, I guess. I know in-game, because I obviously used to play a lot, and this expansion is one of the ones that I played more, for sure. But I know, like, each race has like a racial ability. One racial ability, the undead can like shake off fear effects,
or Will of the Forsaken.
Yeah. Torn can stun people, and the
Warstop.
Blood Elves, I believe, they can like leech magic, or they just drain magic from their opponents. Is there a racial
it's ability? An AoE silence, so it's called Arcane Torrent. Yeah, it's really, really strong in Arena, because if you have more than one magic user like bunched up, you can just make them not be able to cast spells for a little while, and hits anyone who's close to them, so it's really strong.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. So back to we're still in Draenor after the explosion. There's a few people who've survived: orcs, ogres, and Draenei. Blood elves are still in the Eastern Kingdoms at the northernmost point. But the Burning Legion took full advantage of the open portals created by Ner'zhul. The Burning Legion are so there's these things called the Eredar, and the Eredar are from a planet way far away. And they were just like a normal, really happy culture that just thrived in knowledge. If you can learn something, that is what power is to them.
Horny for knowledge, if you will.
Horny for knowledge. Yeah. And this big old dark titan named Sargeras, who's been around since like the beginning of the universe. He's mixed in with the old gods. That could be a whole episode on itself.
For sure.
Yeah,
there's like, 100 more World of Warcraft episodes to come, surely.
Yeah. Oh, we got 4 more years of lore left over. I think I don't think Wikipedia is going anywhere anytime soon. So we're fine.
So he offers him up this this sweet juicy book that says, "Oh, there's got all these good knowledges in here," Sargeras said. And the Eredar are like, "Oh well, we love knowledge and we love."
I want to fuck that book. Yeah, dude, send her over.
Yeah. Yep. And that book basically made them very powerful, but turned them into like demonic gods type of things. Like Kil Jaeden is one, who's the final boss in TBC. We just looked up.
Yeah, we did just look it up. I mean, we knew that because we're smart.
I knew Kil Jaeden was an Eredar, but I didn't know he was the final boss. There's also...
And you fight him at the Sunwell Plateau.
What's that Hearthstone card with Eredar, Lord of the Burning Legion?
You face Jiraxxus.
Jiraxxus.
Eredar, so Lord he's of another the Burning one. Legion. Yeah.
He's another one.
He had a good rhythm there. It sounded like you were going to be like, it's going to a Sabaton song after that.
So it's been like dubstep remixed a bunch. Like that voice line from Hearthstone. You can look up Jiraxxus song on YouTube and for sure it'll pop up like beats with him saying that.
I may have caught that by accident at some point.
So the Burning Legion is a bunch of these corrupted Eredar. So used to be good people, now demonic, taking over things thanks to Sargeras. they see the open portals to what used to be Draenor, and they go ahead and send a mighty pit lord named Magtheridon to seize the broken world and kill Jaden's name.
And he's a guy whose BO has become so strong it's allowed him to be some sort of nobility, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Pit lord. So I posted some pictures in the boys chat. I guess I want to take a second to just describe him to people who don't know him.
Yeah,
he's got like four legs. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, please.
He's got four legs. He's like kind of a centaur, technically, with wings, no horns, but big tusks. Well, kind of tusks. It doesn't look like they go in his mouth. They're kind of like horns on the side of his head.
Yeah, they loop up to his cheeks there. It's hard to see in that photo, but they do. Yeah.
He looks like Pete from a Goofy movie, though.
Sure, yeah.
A little bit.
I can yes and you there, because I don't remember what that guy looks like at all, but...
he's just an overweight, mean dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's he's a little chunky. He's got a shield, like, chained around his shoulders to cover his beer belly, it looks like. And I'm going to guess that's to protect him from shame damage of people ridiculing him while they're trying to kill him.
Yeah, well, Shadow Priests have, like, a shame... cast. It's dots, but it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you do your confessions and then ridicules you for them.
Yeah. It's hard to stay in shape when you're so busy taking over continents and enslaving people, you know? Who has the time for the gym?
These are built to be like war machines by these demons. They're supposed to go out onto war fields, and they have a big long tail which they can swipe large groups of enemies with. They can summon different types of demons. They have a huge warglaive in their hand that's like probably like tons and tons of like weight. Like, it's massive.
How many football fields do you think?
Yeah. how many
you reckon?
Wing sprints.
Yeah, I'm not sure, man.
How many hot dogs tip to tail, huh? Long.
Yeah. What's you tickle the middle of a hot dog and see which end laughs to like see like
what's the tip and what's the tail. you check to see which end wags, right? Because they're hot dogs. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Urgot if people like League of Legends, except he's not so mechanical on the bottom. He's very much more fleshy legs.
Yeah, if Urgot was ever wished upon a star to be a real boy, perhaps he would be Magtheridon.
They have like a mohawk starting from the top of their head all the way down their back and down their tail of everlasting flame.
From tip of the head to tail, one might say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just like a hot dog.
Just like a hot dog.
So this huge, huge guy with a lot of power comes on into Outland, and it's freshly just fucked up. It's in complete disarray. The clans were fighting amongst each other, trying to get whatever bits of land they could, probably since their homes were destroyed.
Fighting over bottled water and other necessary resources, other necessary like canned corn.
Yeah.
Or a joke for the WoW nerds. Joke for the WoW nerds, it would be primal essences, because that's going to be the coveted resource in TBC. Yeah.
A lot of elemental farming in TBC, I seem to recall.
Yes, So Magtheridon was quick to show his power, and orcs are generally pretty receptive to someone who's just big and strong. So he rallied all the surviving orcs under his name.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, this guy may not look exactly like us, but he's tall, he's ferocious, and he's got tusks just like us, so I say we follow him, boys.
Well, that last fucking powerful wizard didn't fuck up our society enough. Like, I trust this next big strong guy.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't mention how tall he is. He's like 6 or 8 like humanoid figures tall, so if this guy came walking into your camp, you'd take notice for sure.
You'd notice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like the sneaking type.
Yeah. No. Like sit down on the log next to the fire and just crush it into splinters. Mind if I take a seat?
You don't look like you're from around here. No, I know him. I went to high school with you, didn't I? What was your name again? Stranger. Joseph?
Yeah.
Like Magtheridon in the yearbook, but it's like completely obscured. It's just like chunk of his forehead.
Yeah, or just a chunk of his like stomach and chest because the camera's positioned too low to catch his
Grundle. Everyone else's orcs, and it's just the middle is just right above his like gut protector.
Yeah, so Magtheridon actually is a raid boss in the Burning Crusade. So he's going to be available on the first week. My group of gamers are definitely going to get him on the first lockout.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. But so the orc clans are all in disarray. He unites them, and he creates something called the Fel Orcs by corrupting the orcs.
Is that the orange ones?
Yes. They're known as the Chaos Orcs or the Blood Orcs, and they're corrupted because of the continual consumption of Pitlord blood, which has caused them to be completely consumed by madness and bloodlust. Oh, so somehow they're all taking a little sip.
So they're all Catholics.
Yeah, you get your Chaos Lord, you get your Chaos Lord wafer, and then you drink of the Pitlord blood.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you think they go about drinking it? Like, do you think they just like they're always like giving them taking blood from him and giving him sugar cookies?
I assume the Eredar have teats, but since they're not mammals, the teats just produce demon blood, essentially.
Oh, that's what's under the Grundle protector.
Yeah, I think the orcs suckle.
Yeah, it's a bunch of like blood sweating nipples is what he has under that shield.
It's actually a pump that he's got there. It's not stomach armor. She's like, well, I'm at work, but the kids at home need their blood.
I pump on my 15-minute breaks, I eat lunch in my half-hour break. Yeah.
Other Eredar at the office always want to complain, but obviously HR can't do anything about it.
Yeah, he's got the little black towel to throw over it when he's out in public on a bench.
I love like the idea of these orcs are like blood and thunder and all like into this big war stuff, but then getting like softly caressed and sucking from a teat.
Blood and thunder.
Yeah.
Blood and thunder is just the slang for just like drinking the blood and then burping loudly.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like,
throws him over the shoulder with the little towel.
Yeah. okay, little orc. Time for thunder. Let's go. Time for thunder before your nap. Don't spit it up.
They're like easily distinguishable from the regular non titty sucking orcs because they have they have red skin,
what a
glowing
bunch of
red
chumps,
eyes,
man.
They have glowing red eyes, longer tusks, and they have spiky growths all over their body as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like I saw the Warcraft movie. You're welcome, or I'm sorry, like depending on how you feel about that. And the shaman dude who kills the main guy,
Thrall,
is also like covered in spikes and has like tusks and shit, right?
Thrall's a green guy. I think Gul'dan might be the spiky guy.
Yeah, yeah. Gul'dan's the big bad guy. Thrall would have like armor, like bone fetishes on him, maybe as a shaman, but. Yeah. Probably wouldn't have growths. I like to think that they grow spikes because the titty blood promotes good bone growth, right?
Yeah. It's an excess of calcium. This is when we go beyond kidney stones.
So back to Magtheridon. He declared himself the ruler of the ruined world Outland and ruled from the Black Temple. So the Black Temple is formerly the Temple of Karabor, which is a Draenei place. So WoW gamers might remember Illidan Stormrage is the ruler of the temple, and you would be right. When we play the Burning Crusade, Illidan will be the last boss in the Black Temple, and Magtheridon's going to be locked in a basement somewhere, and we're going to get to why that happens.
Because
he's got a pump.
He's a cuck bitch. that's his kick, is he loves to watch other people take over his temple and rule it for him.
He's like an architecture cuck. It's not like a marriage thing. Yeah. He just wants people to take over his castle.
So this is something really cool that I didn't know, but 20 years before the start of the Burning Crusade, in World of Warcraft terms, Magtheridon was the ruler of all of Outland. And that's not something that I caught up on with just doing my quests and clicking accept before reading the lore.
Yeah, every time. Yeah, okay. Spamming accept. Yeah. Where does the shiny exclamation point tell me to go next? That's where I'm going.
Exactly. And that doesn't even exist in the old ones, but we have add-ons that tell us which direction to go. Exactly, so we install extra things so we don't have to read. Yeah,
we all downloaded a virus or two back in the heyday trying to get quest helper on World of Warcraft working.
So, I will destroy my computer if it means I never read again. Yeah. Mark my words.
So yeah, he's the ruler of the Black Temple. The Black Temple used to be the sacred site of the Draenei before Ner'zhul took it over and then the world done blew up.
Okay. So this was back when it was Draenor. The Draenei lived there with the orcs. Yeah. And Ner'zhul comes from here?
So that's, I think Ner'zhul is an orc, so he must have come from Draenor at some point. But these are going to be things that are probably best saved for another episode, because there's a lot that I'm not sure. It's all intertwined with the downfall of the Draenei, too, because they also get involved with fel magic somehow, whether it's through Gul'dan or Ner'zhul.
Fel magic is what made the orcs green, right?
Orcs were already green, but it's like green magic that they wield. Like when you see Gul'dan wielding magic, it's always like the glowing green or whatever.
Yeah. Which is a and Gul'dan has those eyes, the green glowing eyes.
And that comes from Sargeras, I think, the green magic, but I don't know for sure either. Yeah. I know
for the listeners at home, Jamie made little finger goggles when he said green eyes. <as well>.
It's just so you could all understand in this call, right?
I'll say I know a fair amount of Warcraft lore. And I've played a fair amount of World of Warcraft, but I know nothing about the Draenei. Like, I've never done any of their stories. I've never made a Draenei character. Well, I probably have, but never got them past, like, level 3 or something. I just know, I know nothing about them.
Yeah, they're space goats from Draenor, and they get corrupted, and they kind of, there's something with corruption in them. I started that storyline, but then the wiki page was too long, so I changed topics.
So I closed Firefox and then went and got a computer virus, so I didn't have to read anymore.
This is actually a request from someone, I forget exactly who, but they are a Prime subscriber, and they asked for Magtheridon lore, so that's why how I landed on this.
Oh.
Yeah. The Black Temple, like I said, used to be a sacred site of the Draenei. Ner'zhul somehow took it over, so he's corrupted them somehow. World blows up. Then Magtheridon shows up. So, over the years, Magtheridon brought legions of demons to Outland through the four-dimensional gateways. Not as in the gateways are four dimensions, but there are four gateways that are dimensional.
It's funny, like, that thought occurred to me briefly, and I was like, oh, wait, no, there's just, like, one more than three.
Yeah, exactly.
One less than five.
Let's not go crazy.
There's two squared portals. No, not two Willy. Square portals, but four rectangular portals. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Captain Willy, for the idea, because it was a cool one to look up.
Shout out perfect.
Yeah. We did fine.
So Magtheridon brings demons to Outlands through these portals that Ner'zhul shattered the world with. They're still active. And his forces became very expansive. Not expensive with a weird word, but expanded.
Expansive. Yo, I can't believe my armies be so expansive. Like he just has an accent.
What do you mean? How much did they cost? No, they're so expansive. tell me then. How much did you spend on them?
It's like who's on first?
So I'll go through a laundry list of what he brought into this world, because usually it was just orcs and Draenei and ogres.
Okay.
He brings in a bunch of demon burrows. And so
in like donkeys, you're saying.
Burro.
Demon burro.
Ah, una burro.
So not donkeys, but donkey might like to have sex with this. There was nether dragons came in. Yeah.
Oh, so all right.
So the nether dragons, they're kind of like light blue, but they're not part of, we talked about this in the other episode, there's dragon flights in World of Warcraft, so the color of the dragon is the school of magic that they come from.
Yeah.
There's like blue, which is mana or like magic loving intellect type thing. There's red,
it's very D&D, like chromatic dragon clans sort of thing.
Exactly. Bronze is time. Green is like the emerald dream and nature type stuff. And then there's black, which is the earth. The black dragonfly kind of goes crazy later in Cataclysm. There's a whole Deathwing guy who he doesn't stick to everything, but these nether dragons, they are infused with magic from the nether. So none of those five flights, they're their own thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
They exist, on their own. They got their own. They said, screw you guys. I'm going to make our own dragon flight with magic wings and different colors.
Yeah, it was something like with like black eggs started showing up seemingly from nowhere in the Twisting Nether, and these things just hatched from them, which is terrifying.
Pretty handy if you're hungry, though. An egg just shows up. Like...
Yeah, man. Dude, hard-boiled egg on your breakfast sandwich in the morning is top tier.
A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of chaos magic.
Yeah. Exactly. It gets me to 10 in the morning, basically.
So nether dragons came in. They might be a mount in the Burning Crusade. I haven't looked into the mounts enough to know, but that makes sense to me. There's also void walkers. So if you play World of Warcraft, you know what a void walker is. They're elementals with nether magic. They kind of look like an upside down teardrop.
The buff kind of ghost dudes, right, for warlocks?
Exactly. And warlocks can summon a lot of these nether creatures.
Yeah, it's the second demon that you learn to summon as a warlock. First is imp, and then you learn to summon a void walker.
Succubus? Yeah, there's a bunch
Succubus
of these...
is a private spell, though.
Hey, what you studying there, Jeff? Nothing. It's a void walker, a buff void walker to crush my enemies, that's all.
Yeah, void walkers are also known as blueberries in classic WoW, just because the color scheme looks a lot more blue than purple and
brown.
Yeah,
blueberries are some of my favorite fruit. I'll have you know.
I love them.
Gotta love a blueberry.
So next up is succubi, which are hoofy babes with whips. They got hooves, they have whips, and they are usually pretty attractive, I'd say.
I'd eat that too, just like blueberries, frankly.
There's Felguard, which are beefy Chad boy demons. You actually get to command one for the first time as a warlock in the Burning Crusade. They're very humanoid. They wear armor on their like limbs, but they keep their chest and abs out for everyone to see.
Hell yeah. What's the point? No one will believe you otherwise.
Yeah, I think they have one big sword in their hand too.
All that
I haven't played a lot.
All that time at the gym has got to be for something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can just like put the handle of the sword between your pecs and hold it right there.
Oh, they have an axe. They're really annoying in PvP right now because everyone who boosted a character uses a Felguard, because the Felguard is the strongest pet to have if you have no gear. But you're better off using like a what are they called? Fell Beast, if you actually have gear. So you know somebody just boosted a character whenever you get charged and stunned by one of these things. They're fucking annoying. There's Fell Beasts, which are like horned demon doggos, sort of. They don't look exactly like dogs, but more so than the rest of the things.
They're four-legged. They got like quills. They kind of look like a porcupine a bit.
Yeah, kind of like a porcupine. There's the Doom Guard, which are winged humanoid demons. They kind of look a bit like the Fel Guards, but yeah, just with wings.
Yeah, with wings. They're also very buff.
Yeah, they're very buff.
They also have some exposed chest.
You gotta love it, dude. There's something for everyone. Whenever you're a warlock, you got your succubi, you got your buff boys, you got your nether dragons, if you're donkey.
truly, it is the fetish class.
Yeah. And they're so like brokenly strong in TBC. What warlocks are the best at PvE damage? They're the best at PvP. They're the best at farming because they can just break anybody who tries to stand in their way. Like, they're so good. Maybe druids are better at farming because you get free flight form, but still, it's... If you want to join a TBC and you want to be completely overpowered, play a warlock.
Okay.
I never...
You play a priest, right?
I play a shadow priest in TBC, yeah.
I never pick the overpowered classes because I like to pick the underpowered classes because then that's my excuse for when I'm bad. Because if I pick an overpowered class and lose, then I look like an idiot. But if I pick an underpowered class and lose, then it's like, whatever, you know?
I kind of hit a sweet spot with Shadow Priest because there's an ability called Vampiric Touch, which refunds 5% of my damage as mana to the party. So they stick me into the healer group, and just by me doing damage, I'm giving mana to all the healers, so it's really nice. I'm never expected to be the top of the DPS because you just can't be. But just by existing, you're helping the whole raid.
Yeah, yeah. You're still essential. Yeah. You still can't get cut. So,
and you get there's a debuff that every time I use a spell, it applies Shadow Weaving, which with 5 stacks, it gives Warlocks 15% more damage. So I also buff the strongest class.
There you go.
Yep. It's a nice little niche. And they're pretty good at PvP. They're not the best, and they're pretty good at PvE. Like they're good, but they're not like the best at anything. Yeah,
fine and dandy like sour candy.
Yep. And the last thing that Megtheridon brought, so far he's brought Nether Dragons, Void Walkers, Succubi, Felguard, Fel Beasts, Doomguard, and he also brought some Eredar. So some of the higher ranking dudes from
where do Infernals come from? I was waiting.
He brought Infernals over too, actually.
You can pull it up all the clips, like real quick here.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Eredar look like corrupted Draenei. I'm not going to lie. They look just like Draenei. But they're red. Actually, they're red instead of blue.
Yeah, they do.
They might have come from the same planet. Maybe Draenor was like the blue guys discovered it, and the people who stayed home at Eredar. Like, Eredar used to be a good word for them. But then it became a bad word because all of the Eredar like became infected.
Yeah, could be something like that.
I'd like to note as well, they do look like Draenei, but they still are not wearing shirts. Like, abs and pecs, like, full force.
It was 2008, baby. It was an easier time to live. All my...
God damn the liberal censorship where I need to keep my shirt on all the time. Can't just have shoulder pads and pants on.
Just a real quick pulling up the clip. The Draenei appear to be a offshoot of the Eredar, but apparently that was a retcon and not one that was well received by fans at the time. So stay tuned for a future episode, but there's controversy there.
It was 2008. They had to push the game out. They only had so many character models, so they made one blue, one red, and then later on, we use the same character model. Now we kind of got
exactly.
The story. So yeah, that Megtheridon has this huge army of all these crazy demons. And he continues attacking the Draenei that live there or the orcs that opposed him. Anything that opposed him in the Outlands would just be hunted down by a bunch of demons.
Suckers.
Yeah. So 80s montage of demons slaying innocent Draenei, and 20 years go by. And
okay. I'd like to think that like the soundtrack to that montage would be pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, maybe some like Doom 2016. Like,
okay. No, not for your montage. Like, push it to the limit.
Yeah.
Right?
Live to win.
To win.
That's the one from the South Park World of Warcraft episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I easily thought of.
Yep. So yeah, 20 years later, Draenor had been completely shattered. Megtheridon had taken over. Illidan in Stormrage, which he's a very popular... There's a picture that I shared a little bit higher. He's a night elf that came from a family of druids that went way off track. He was born with... different colored eyes. I think he had golden eyes instead of the other eye. Whatever it was, he had different colored eyes. So he was
disgusting.
Yeah. So we did a Hearthstone episode, which talked a lot about his brother Malfurion.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But we never.
Malfurion was the good boy who did his druid homework.
Yeah.
And Illidan always wanted something more, and he got involved in the fell powers, and he became very strong, but also very evil.
He is World of Warcraft's ultimate, edge boy, like ultimate, like, shut up, mom and dad, you don't know how to beat back the darkness that our family has historically done for thousands of years. I'm gonna go my own way and do it, and that means dealing with demons, then that's what's gotta be done.
Yeah, there was some sort of incoming danger, whether it was the Lich King or something else. I think it was the Lich King. And basically he said, there's no way we can get strong enough on our own. So I need to go and lock myself in this place with fell energy. And this is the only way we'll get strong enough to beat off
Arthas.
Yeah. Oh, to beat off the Lich King. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We do know. See, this is the problem, because they were night elves and they needed Draenor to do it, because we know that Arthas likes hooves. So.
Oh, yeah. I've never aroused him enough to beat him off unless I change my feet.
And this is like not an Illidan episode, so this is super vague and stuff that I just remember from context. And yeah. I'll do an Illidan episode eventually if people want it. But he, after becoming...
Sure they do.
If you want it, you got to be more like Willy and request it, you know?
Yeah.
And so he also was like...
Be more like
was...
Willy and beat it off.
Yeah. And beat off Arthas, yeah.
It was really ill-received. The fact that he went to fell energy, so his own people like lock him in a cave for 10,000 years or something like that, and when he comes out, he not only became evil for a purpose, but also hates his own people completely, so he goes completely rogue.
He had nothing but shadows just to look at the entire time. God damn it, he had no idea what was going on.
That was
his whole reality for a time. It was just those shadows on the wall.
So he has like green glowing eyes of fell energy, and his eyes are like tied off like a monk would when they're fighting or something like that.
Yeah, he has a blindfold on.
Yeah. And he's got those horns that loop around, big old wings with like spikes on the top.
Yeah.
He's got two warglaives that if you got these back in the day, you were a god.
The warglaives of Azanoth.
My old roommate, Tall Peter, I remember like when he got his second one when we were living together in like 2015, and he like almost shit his pants. He was so fucking excited.
There's
a blood elf rogue.
Yeah. There's a streamer that was like one of the biggest streamers on Twitch, also one of the biggest WoW streamers ever, and just like a super cool guy named Reckful.
The Lore Boys? Is that the biggest streamer you're talking about?
No, Reckful, who passed away not that long ago at the beginning of the pandemic, rest his soul. He was one of the coolest guys ever, and he had the warglaives, and he like it's iconic of his character too, which in the WoW community everybody knows and loves Reckful. So those warglaives are really, really special to WoW. Yeah, anyways, he's got hooves on the bottom.
Yeah,
so that's one.
how does he hold the warglaives with his hoof hands?
They're just like tied on.
I'm pretty sure you can combine the warglaives into like one big sword too, which he does from time to time for the cool anime fight scenes.
Yeah,
not like a big like star thing,
like a four bladed glaive. I don't think so. I don't know.
I think it's just one big sword. We talked about it in the Arthas Part 2 episode. Illidan actually goes and fights the Lich King.
Yeah.
And he like loses and narrowly escapes with his life.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is where we actually start here. Illidan comes to Outland after getting his butt kicked by the Lich King. He's like, I need a new home. I'm not safe over there. Where
I need new feet. I couldn't beat him.
Yeah.
Damn. Chilling with that fell magic, being cast out by my parents and locked in a cave with only shadows for 10,000 years, sure didn't prepare me to fight this guy with an insatiable hunger for hooves.
Yeah, one thing about Reckful too, just before I move on, dude, this guy got 3,000 arena rating, first one ever, and something like to move up, you would get 1 point for a win and lose like 32 points for a loss at that stage.
Dude. Holy fuck.
So you would have to win 32 games straight just to make any headway on your next win, 33.
Yeah.
So he was the first one to do that ever, and that's why those warglaives are just like, it's part of his image, part of WoW so much.
It's iconic.
Yep.
R.I.P., dude.
Yeah. So yeah. Illidan comes on into through the dark portal. And he's also running from his vengeful master, Kil'jaeden. I don't know how Kil'jaeden and Illidan like work together. That's probably where Kil'jaeden tempted him with the power like Sargeras did to him.
Yeah.
But that's going to be its own episode eventually.
Okay.
Yeah. Magtheridon had become cocky in his 20 years on the throne. With his big old beer gut covered up with a shield.
Or he just like got so cocky he's not even covering it up anymore.
Yeah. And Illidan going through the dark portal into the Outland to go challenge Magtheridon after being beat by the Lich King. This is all in Warcraft 3, by the way. This is all playable stuff. So once he goes through, here is a quote from Magtheridon showing how cocky he'd become. "These upstarts are tiresome gnats, nothing more. The might of Magtheridon cannot be denied. I am the lord of the Outland. Those who dispute my rule will soon regret their folly." So he uses his own name in third person, which is kind of cringe, dude.
Kind of pretty cringe,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Illidan's
like Magtheridon don't like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Magtheridon's confidence has left him complacent. So Illidan and all of his forces start moving in. Illidan is not alone. He has some allies with him. Kael'thas, which is the leader of the Blood Elves.
Yep.
The horny for magic folks.
Yep.
There's Lady Vash and her army of Naga, which is like the fish
snake ladies.
Yeah, snake ladies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's the elusive Ashtung tribe of the Broken, which are like completely morphed Draenei. They say they're Draenei, but they really don't look like Draenei. They kind of look like ghosty versions of themselves, but completely deformed.
Okay. I thought they were just like thinly disguised. There's a bunch of Draenei with the Groucho Marx glasses on. It's like, oh, not us. No, we're something else.
So in this Warcraft 3 level, you get to play as Illidan, and you need to shut down all of the four of the dimensional portals that are bringing in the reinforcements. So it's very video games for the time. This is what, like, must be mid-thousands, early thousands.
Yeah, when did Warcraft 3 come out? Like 2002, 2003, something like that?
World of Warcraft came out in 2004, so Warcraft 3 must have come out before.
It was 2006.
Yeah.
2006 was World
of
Warcraft.
Oh, sorry, the beta came out in 2004, I think.
Right.
So yeah. I think like the first time anyone played World of Warcraft was, I believe, 2004.
Yeah, so it must have been like 2000 or just after 2000.
I want to say 2000. 2002, yeah. Apparently.
2002.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
So in your 2002 RTS, you get to play as Illidan and go to all the spots on the map and defeat the things and shut down the portals.
Okay.
Yep. And once you shut down all the portals and there's no more reinforcements, it's time to go storm the Black Temple to face the Pit Lord himself. And I didn't know you get to do this all in Warcraft 3. I need to go back and play it. But, makes me excited.
Just don't play Reforged is what I hear.
Yeah. Well, you don't have a choice but to. If you had the old one, it's now Reforged.
Oh, yeah, but you just I would just pirate it, I think.
You get acquire it legitimately. Come on. Let's endorse anything too illegal for our potential sponsors, right? Blizzard, yep. Crunch at us.
Yeah, yeah. If Blizzard decides to sponsor us, I'll take it all back. But until then,
steal it.
Yeah. I got a copy of Warcraft for you. Fell off the back of a carrot truck. Okay.
A carrot. I was driving through Little Italy, and hey, you look what I stumbles upon. Just a crates of Warcraft 3s.
2002 editions.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. 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 Illidan's forces were outnumbered. Whenever they're going to the Black Temple. But there was nowhere to go but forward. He couldn't return to Azeroth because he might die by the Lich King's hand, or he might be found by Kil'jaeden. So the Outland was the last choice. Him and all of his snake friends and old Draenei and Blood Elves horny for magic, they gotta make it work.
You gotta make it work, man.
Yeah. So Magtheridon's confidence has left him complacent, as from the quote I gave you before where he's calling them gnats and nothing more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these other minor races, they're just gnats, and Magtheridon hates gnats. Magtheridon wishes his demonic servants would stop leaving out old fruit to attract all these goddamn gnats.
Put those bananas in the freezer like I told you, so we can ignore them forever,
says Magtheridon.
So in the video game, you do actually have to go through the Black Temple, and the objective here is these red crystals. These power crystals that you have to go and break.
Do you get to make banana bread?
Yeah.
sure.
Oh.
Yeah. When you break these crystals, this makes the demonic siege weapons that are protecting the throne room. They kind of fall apart as you break all four of these crystals. I think there's four.
They were held together by smoothie blenders that you're smashing so Megtheridon can't get rid of his fruit via smoothie.
So Illidan, he pushes through to the throne room, and this is
what is he like? Just a manager of a booster juice?
Yeah.
It's time to end your fucking reign of evil, Megtheridon.
Yeah.
The name tag.
Yeah. A little paper hat. Keeps catching fire.
Smoothies.
Exactly. Yeah. Choose your booster. We can choose either caffeine or fiber.
Yeah.
Or titty blood,
yeah. We got titty blood protein if you want to add it for an extra $1.50.
Give your shoulder spikes.
Yeah.
Little university bros who don't want to work out and stay fit just go to Megtheridon's like booster juice.
Yeah. So this is a pretty intense scene. Illidan forces his way into the throne room with all of his homies coming up from behind him, backing him up.
They're all like snapping like bad boys from the 50s, like they're a gang coming up.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh,
thank God, yeah.
This is Megtheridon and Megtheridon's boys. Isn't that right, boys? Yeah.
Yeah. And Megtheridon says to Illidan, "I do not know you, stranger, but your power is vast. Are you an agent of the Legion? Have you been sent to test me?" And I watched this clip from the game, and Illidan replies with a laugh, but it's like the most grating laugh ever. Like, like it goes on just a little too long.
Yuck. Watch it, shout ahead.
His head turns into like a cartoon wolf head.
And Illidan, after that laugh, says, "I've come to replace you. You're a relic, Megtheridon, a ghost of a past age. The future is mine from this moment on. Outland and all of its denizens will bow to me." And combat music starts, and I'm going to go through how they fought right now.
Can I just say before we get to that, I wish that Illidan had called it, like, Outlands and just, like, really grated on Megtheridon.
All of the Outlands will bow to me.
Yeah. No, okay. Yeah. Megtheridon really thinks you should just call it Outland, even if you are going to be the guy to take it over. Like, it just, Megtheridon thinks it sounds better, okay? Megtheridon's the easiest character I've ever played on this show because I'm really bad at doing voices, so it's really easy when I could just say the name of the character that I'm playing constantly.
Right. Well, he refers to himself in third person now, exactly, right? He's just like, Megtheridon doesn't like that. Megtheridon thinks it's Outland. Singular. Yeah.
So I'm going to go through, this is pulled from the book called Illidan by William King. But it's fairly long, so I won't ask you to be quiet the whole way through, or else I'm just going to be speaking by myself for 5 minutes. But I'm going to run through how William King figured this fight would go between an Eredar pit lord and a night elf.
Okay, Willie from the Discord, who suggested this topic, you got to tell us if you're William King and this is a long con ad, because you will owe us some money.
That's a good point. So the pit lord, he lumbers forward, raising his gigantic glaive, and the earth shook beneath the steps. "I will crush you like the insect you are, Megtheridon will."
Like the insect, a small gnat buzzing around my bananas that you are.
Gesturing behind him to a basket of old bruised bananas, he lumbers forth.
"I will feast on your pulped flesh and devour your soul with it." He spoke with the confidence of a demon war machine.
So he is like a smoothie guy if he wants to even pulp Illidan's flesh.
Yeah.
"I will put you into my blender and press the pulse function until you are nothing but a bloody smoothie."
So Megtheridon's bodyguards advance. Usually pit lords, they're kind of like battlefield leaders, so they send in their
they delegate,
first,
right?
Yeah. They're finger snapping cronies first.
Yeah. So Illidan sprang forward, warglaive scything through the air to bite into demon flesh. His blows slashed the arm from a Felguard, forcing the creature to drop his axe. And a heartbeat later, Illidan's left warglaive sliced his opponent open from neck to groin.
Oh, tip to tail.
Hey, yeah,
like a hot
just
dog.
Just like a hot dog.
Yeah, yeah. From neck to groin, just like a hot dog.
Yeah. Which end of that guy laughed?
Well, he shit himself as soon as he died. So.
Just like a hot dog.
So, and then Illidan's own forces advance to take on the opposing Doom Guards. They're buffed by the magics of Kel'Thalas and Lady Vash, and the Doom Guards are pretty much completely slain by Illidan's forces, but this is all happening behind Illidan, so he doesn't see it. He's running up towards Magtheridon.
Magtheridon okay, so- agrees that I should have told my cronies to not snap, but use weapons like you told yours.
So, the Pit Lord, he winds up this huge hit. The huge glaive crashes down, biting into the stone where Illidan had stood. But Illidan was already rolling between the legs of the Lord of the Outlands, hamstringing the front two legs with his twin war glaives.
Yeah, gotta look where he's gonna look where he's going, not where he's currently.
Yeah, that's anime 101, man. Yeah. You caught his after image.
Yeah, it says Genos chasing One Punch Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he's rolling between the legs, hamstrings the front two legs with his right and left hand. The Pit Lord roars with fury and strikes again. And Illidan tumbles forward and strikes his foe's belly with rapid strikes as he moves underneath and goes towards the tail.
I like that you pantomimed him running, and I was just picturing his warglaives while he was like scything his arms up and down to run, was just poking the top or just poking the ceiling above him, which happens to be Magtheridon's belly. Like, yeah. Completely
he's
by
like
accident.
Running like Jim Carrey, just like,
yeah! Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Then he makes his way to the back, runs up the tail. It's all covered in fire all the way to the top of the head, but I guess the fire... It's Fellfire.
It's Fellfire.
Or he's just like arcing his legs over it. He's like whoop, hup, whoop, yeah. Like left, right sort of thing.
It's probably akin to his own magic, so he can just run right through it.
Yeah.
So he runs up the tail, up the back, and plunges both of his
through
blades
the pussy,
into
the crack.
In the crack!
I wrote him like, they're gonna say
it. Well, you should have written a pause for Ethan and Peter to make their dumb joke already.
Yeah.
I was hoping to blow right through you guys. But...
blow right through us like I blow out that back. I got you.
And he strikes the two blades right into the sides of the demon's thick neck. He's weakened, but not dead yet. So now he's got a... Illidan has a new vantage point. He's looking back towards his own forces, and he's an eight-person-tall demon.
Hey, I can see my house from here. Dude, this is great.
I feel roughly 9 people tall right now.
This must be what a football field feels like.
Yeah, yeah. Or the square root of 3, or 3 squared people tall right now. Not like 3 square people, but you know what I mean.
So he can see that his own forces had conquered over Magtheridon. So he can see he was in a winning position. He has Magtheridon in a pretty good spot here. With
well, he's
two...
got his like swords and his traps, right? Like right, like yeah. On the sides of his neck.
He's Frankensteined him. He's gave him the Frankenstein's monster, the bolts in the neck.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, the Chelsea grin is the cuts on the cheek. Yeah. Frankenstein's monster is the stabs in the neck.
Two knives in either side of the neck.
Yeah, for anybody listening who's also part of the IRA, that's like this.
So seeing the favorable position, Illidan raises his hands and mutters the words of a spell of binding. A wave of magical energy hits the Pit Lord. Illidan's heart's thundering, Magtheridon's flinching, and their wills are battling back and forth. It's a tug of war for giants, these two ultimately powerful things. Magtheridon slowed, and Illidan leaped into the air and spread his wings, and he signaled to the others to, hey, a little help here kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Lady Vash, this is the snake lady, she reads the sign and starts casting a spell as well. And lines of fire shoot out from the ground underneath her and encircle the demon. Like she just threw in a match at a circle of gasoline or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. The Zippo, the classic move.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Lady Vash, I laid the ring of gasoline around him. Toss me your lighter, would you?
Yeah.
So she starts feeding into the spell to capture Magtheridon as well. Magtheridon understood what was happening, and he's still not completely trapped, so he starts roaring. The Pit Lord rears up and struggles against the spell. And then Illidan calls out with a croak to Kael Thalas, the Blood Elf, who was distracted by all this magic going on. He was like, really?
So hard.
Yeah. He's just in the corner having a great time watching the show, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He wants to just absorb all of this and like go on a magic bender and just...
Yeah, same, dude. Mission.
Yeah. But Kael Thalas does hear Illidan's croak of help and decides to help out as well. So he adds all his own power to the spell. So a colossal pillar of magic slams into the Pit Lord, and a binding spell so powerful that not even a Pit Lord of the Eredar could break it. It was complete.
Damn.
So Illidan says, "Hear me now, you trembling mortals. I am your lord and master. Illidan reigns supreme." So he says his own name too, I guess. It's, it comes with the title.
Yeah.
And that's how Illidan beats MacTheridon. They stored Pit Lord beneath Hellfire Citadel, which is in the first zone that you go into in the Outland. And he's kept there to have his blood harvested for the fell orcs, because Illidan still has use for corrupted orcs. So he's just basically a dairy cow.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, yeah.
Oh my god.
It's cattle, yeah.
Yeah. He's one of the three raids that comes out with the first phase of the Burning Crusade. You have to go fight him, and he has like six spellcasters that bind him the whole time that belong to Illidan. So the whole fight is like about managing the spellcasters that are keeping him down and fighting those and interrupting their shadow volleys so your group doesn't die. And then once you beat all the things that are binding him, then you have to fight the demon himself.
Okay.
I've never done it. I looked at a guide today, and it looks way more complicated than I'm ready for, but
you and your 40, you have like a 40 man team that you just need to detach his like eight suckers from his demon team.
All right, and folks, once five men to a sucker, all right,
yeah.
Yeah, apparently once you get him, he's pretty easy though. Like they say when you're raiding, you have to do Karazhan, which is a pretty long raid, and then there's Gruul and MacTheridon. And the longest part about doing Gruul and MacTheridon is traveling from Gruul to MacTheridon. Like, once you get in and just do the fight, it's not that bad.
Okay.
But once you get good, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to die a bunch of times first.
No, surely not.
Which is the fun, though. It's like finding out, like, step by step, okay, we got to phase two. How do we get to phase three? So this is the story of MacTheridon and how he got stored underneath the Hellfire Citadel, and how he's actually the leader of the Outland before Illidan, which I think is really cool. I didn't know about, because I didn't play Warcraft 3 recently, and all my time on the original TBC, not on private servers, everything's owned by Illidan. So
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I love. I still remember so vividly the first time going through the Dark Portal, where you go through the Dark Portal and there's just a full scale like invasion force of demons just sitting on the other end, and somebody's just like, "Hop on the back of this flying animal. We're gonna get you out of here. We're just kind of staging our defense, but you got to get behind their lines." And you just like fly over this like huge battlefield scene with all these pit fiends who are, you know, seven to eight people tall.
It's like an orange type desert. Like everything in the original WoW, like the sky is always the same. It's either like blue during the day or like stars at night. But in Hellfire Peninsula or whatever, whenever you're flying in for the first time, there's this huge planet with rings around it with another planet next to it, and like you can see like a galaxy basically, and it's very exciting. Super guys cool.
So many floating rocks in Outland.
Yeah, there's Nagran too, which is like a beautiful like lush meadow type area with like elementals in the middle, and the
Nezzet Hemingway.
Yeah, Nezzet Hemingway, you have to like kill basically like 240 different animals. Like, go kill 30 rhinos, go kill 40 bears.
He's like a great hunter who's writing his book. And you first encounter him in Stranglethorn, I think. You have to like find all the pages of his book or something. And then he's like, yeah, go kill tigers, go kill this thing, go kill that.
Yeah. And Nagran, the music is just so soothing. I can't wait to just like live in World of Warcraft for 2 weeks, and that's exactly what I'm gonna do.
I can tell.
Hellfire Peninsula is great. Nagran is great.
Zangarmarsh
is amazing. What is it? Yeah. Terrakar Forest sucks ass. I hate that place. Blade's Edge Mountain sucks ass. But
Shadow Moon side questing and Blade's Edge, dude, it sucks. Yeah. It's like so linear and like you can't get it. It's like winding city streets where you can't, like, there's no alleys to cut your way through. Yeah, so if you want to get from one way to the other, you got to fucking snake your way through the whole
thing. It's province. Like one big, like, switchback mountain path.
Yeah. But you get a flying mount eventually, so it becomes easier.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was Mechtheridon and the Burning Crusade, the opening onto how the Outland became what it is. And I hope you guys had fun.
How the Outland became the Inland, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hot.
They're not done.
Yeah. Hot dog land. cool. Thanks for that. Thanks to William, Big Captain Willy on the Discord for the suggestion. If you guys want to hear more about Illidan, more about the Draenei, which I hope you do, because I, Ethan, want to hear about it, and I want Jamie to tell it to me, or I want to research it myself, maybe, but I will only do it if you ask, so please hit up the Discord and ask. If you're not on the Discord yet, you can go to loreboys.com/about. There's a link there. There also should be a link in the description of the podcast app that you're using for our Discord, so just use that. Anybody who doesn't know what Discord is, it's a chat service. It's like a chat room, ASL. You know what I'm talking about.
M4M is basically what you, or wait, maybe not.
Yeah.
they changed the purple from purple 374 to 372, and I can't stand it.
Yeah, no.
Discord sucks
it's
now.
Purple
now.
Jamie hasn't been purple on since.
Yeah. 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 The more purple reminds me of my Draenei father, who abused me mercilessly as a child. Thanks for listening, everybody. Shout out to our sponsors on Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, if you want to support the show financially. Peter, Jamie, do you guys have anything specific you want to plug? Art, comic book publishers, things like that?
Yeah, Jamie, why don't you tell us about your publisher?
Check out Idea Square. Not like an idea that's square
wrong.
But yeah
that's also wrong. Don't check out Idea Square. Do not know who they are.
Yeah, we hate those
you
bastards.
Can check at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. Thank you for all the feedback. I've been posting, like, keeping things alive between posts, and like everybody's interacting very nicely, which is great. Squared Idea is my publisher, so check them out if you want. I have a project about dinosaurs that is done and not out. I don't know when it's going to be out. I will obviously update everyone when that is ready to go. But always keep in mind that, like, the Squared Idea is supporting Pete, not supporting the show, so only check it out if you're curious.
Hey, that which supports Pete supports the show, I'll say. Jamie, you got anything you want to add? Plug, support?
If you're on Earth Fury and you send me Primal Essences, I'll be cool with that, dude. I'm going to need a lot of Primal Essences. Yeah. I got 3 tailors. I got 2 alchemists. I got...
With the new expansion factor coming out, Jamie no longer has time to play new games, so he's just moved on to asking for freebies in the game that he already plays.
Yeah.
Jamie just, like, once again coming on the podcast, rattling his tin cup full of coins, squatting in the street.
Yeah. I'm getting at least, like, yeah, that's what I'm doing, actually. Yeah.
Again, patreon.com/loreboys if you want to support the show financially. And of course, we do have Loreboys Prime. We have an excellent service where we offer you guys something in return for all the loyalty, all the hours spent, all the, you know, skin flakes you guys send us, stuff like that that we need so dearly. So, Jamie, how much is a WoW Classic subscription these days?
It's about $14.99
USD. Well, so we're going to need to charge you guys $35 a month for Jamie's WoW Classic subscription. Don't worry, when you guys make an outrage after this episode comes out, we'll reduce the price back to $14.99. We just want to say right now it's going to be $35.
And since we're in the spirit of being like Activision Blizzard, truthfully, I'll be using a VPN to get an Argentina subscription for $3. So I'm still going to be making money on
there. You go. Yeah. $3, is that a thing? I have a VPN, so that might make World of Warcraft monetarily viable for me.
the guy who was like the big villain of our server, who would dispel everybody and had like 10 accounts and everything, Tiny Violin, he had all of that. And his catchphrase is, get fucked, buddy. And he's from somewhere in Canada. And now every time I'm PvPing and I kill someone, I have to say, get fucked, buddy.
That's a good line.
But rest assured, listeners, we're not asking for your $35 for free. Of course, we're going to give you something in return. Recently, one of my 8 nipples has started lactating hot dogs, so we're starting up a hot dog business, and you'll get a free hot dog card if you send us the $35. That does not entitle you to a free hot dog, but on your 10th purchase of a hot dog, it will.
It must feel
you to a
good,
free hot dog.
Like when you pinch it off at the end. Yeah. When you pinch it off at the end, like finally, that was a lot of pressure. You know?
Sometimes, yeah. Like after when I wake up in the morning, it'll come out as like links. Like they'll still be attached. You know what I mean? I gotta get through like 7 of them, eight or 7 people tall worth of hot dogs.
Or you're right at the beginning, it just looks like you have really big nipple tips because it's just like the tip of the hot dog.
The end of a hot dog is indistinguishable from a human's nipple. Okay, I will say. Yeah, so, I have made that mistake
big,
so many times in
nipples.
My life. Yeah, and I think God, I hope at least that would constitute a lore boys.
Lore boys
out.
Outland.
Outland.
Oh, land. The Outland.
Out dog.
Do you think she was is cultured enough for English Lord of the Rings?
No, heavens no.
No?
No.
Oh, you said cultured, and I don't know why, but it made me lift my pinky when I drank my Coors Light. My go-to lately is like is Kettle One vodka on a fuck ton of ice with a little bit of lemon and like a splash of White Claw in there and just sip it.
Okay.
Cool. It's actually quite good. It's like a really strong White Claw. That's
I was gonna sipping. Say I love that. Yeah. your mix for your vodka is more booze.
It's soft alcohol. Yeah,
yeah, soft alcohol. Yeah, gotta spritz in some of the claw.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's good.
It's like beer.
Old mango action.
Beer in Russia was considered a soft drink until like 2015 or something. Like you could, just like a 2-year-old could buy it technically.
What's going on in Russia lately? I've been seeing like this fighter dude and like these two, these people who look like children, but they're 18. And then he's like making them fight and like.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about like a more like mainstream thing where like the president of Belarus grounded an Irish airplane to arrest a journalist, and then Vladimir Putin was all just like, "Yes, yes, yes, this is fine," and is like coming to the defense of Belarus.
Yeah. No, this is totally normal behavior from the Belarusian president, but it's still a decision he made entirely on his own, and Vladimir Putin had nothing to do with it.
Exactly. yeah, despite the fact that this Belarusian president has been in power for like 28 years.
Like, yeah, that's totally normal in democratic countries, though, that somebody would get reelected for 28 years straight.
I can't believe you've won 7 elections with a majority, sir. That's incredible.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.